What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, your friendly Clippers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. And boy, we got a doozy lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of the last of the Mohicans of preseason games.
Okay.
That's going to be against the Dallas Mavericks.
In Vancouver.
In Vancouver, interestingly enough. So shout out any former Grizzly fans. I hope you are able to make it out to the game.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be breaking down that one for you. What we want to see, things that could go wrong, players to watch. And then we're going to be doing our classic player previews leading up to the regular season. Today we've got a bit of a controversial one, I feel like, in Clipper Nation. Maybe even more controversial than yesterday's.
I think it is controversial. It's also our Thirsty Thursdays because I do want to see a lot from this player coming up this season.
Do you want to tease who it is?
I don't. I want people to just strap in and find out.
Wow. Okay. Leaving them in the dark. And then we're going to be wrapping up with shavings. It's where we kind of pull out the old Clipper drawer. See what we can make of some stuff.
And this one is a pretty, you know, we're winding down the off season. This is a pretty quintessential off season shavings we got coming up.
All right, so stay tuned for all of that coming up right about now.
So the Mavs and the Clippers play in Vancouver at 7:30. If you're listening to this on Thursday morning, which you probably will be. Slight disclaimer: we are recording this Wednesday night, so there could possibly be some lineup changes. We are going off of what Doc said in his Sunday presser, which was that everyone who's available to play and healthy will play, which right now seems like the only people that that's not going to be is Paul George and Magruder.
Yeah,
I only say that. We haven't seen news from Magruder, but I just feel like, you know, they're probably going to leave him out of this one.
Yeah, from what Doc was indicating, it seemed like the high ankle sprain was enough of a concern that they were going to let him rest out at least the entirety of the preseason.
Yeah. And but the Mavs have everyone healthy and are seemingly playing everybody a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
In the last game, the Mavs, I mean, Doncic played 27, Wright played 27, Kristaps 26, Seth the Goat Curry played 9. All their legit go-to guys got some minutes.
That's great. Love to see it.
Which is why I'm really excited for this preseason game. I think this is going to be a great, not as much of a test as the Nuggets game was.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the Mavs don't have as formidable of a front court.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of interesting players, but the depth certainly isn't at the level of the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think something that's interesting, though, is just we talk about all these kind of key players playing a lot of minutes in the preseason. And to me, this is kind of an indication that Dallas intends to carve out a playoff spot. I don't know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But isn't this kind of like a hint to you that like they want everybody to kind of be gelling together and like kind of see what they're going to be working with?
Yeah, I was talking with the host of the Blue Hardwood podcast. Shout out to them. He is like, all these people want us to get a playoff spot. I just want to get Luka and Kristaps' chemistry out.
Absolutely.
You're not going to go far in the playoffs.
For sure. But I think that there is like the idea that, you know, they've kind of, they've been on their laurels or however you want to say it for a little bit.
Yeah.
They, you know, they got Luka, had an amazing season. They pulled off the blockbuster trade for Kristaps. I mean, it seems like they want to get out the gate ready to go, which is something that does worry me a little bit in the preseason.
In terms of how our team responds?
Yes.
Yeah. So how many, we talked about this right before we started recording. How many minutes do we think Kawhi plays? Last time Doc said that the only cap on Kawhi's minutes was Doc's own mental cap and how comfortable he felt playing him against the Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
And if you watch that game, oh man, did he look good.
He looked very good.
Which makes me think we might, I think it might be less than 15.
It's definitely going to be less than 15. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where Kawhi is a guy who's not going to play with the governor on.
Oh, no, he's going.
Even yesterday in the practice scrimmage,
dude, he was not scrimmaging.
he was gunning to take the last shot, which didn't end up securing the win. But he's that kind of player. Like, he's going to give everything. So I think that you have to be the one to come in and be like,
please stop.
Nah.
Please stop playing hard. The starting lineup, what do you envision with that? I think we're going to see kind of the similar. I think it's going to be Bev, Sham, Kawhi.
I'm going Green.
that's what in practice Green has played with the ones in the practice. And then I'm obviously going with Zoo at the five.
So my argument for Green in the starting lineup is basically the same as it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
The floor spacing, I think, is great. I think you need it a little bit more, to be perfectly honest, without a Paul George out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Zubats has been looking better. He can stretch out from the hoop a little bit further. But, you know, he still needs more room to work. He needs to have, like, wide open room to be able to grab lobs and snatch up rebounds. So, to me, JaMychal makes the most sense just for the floor spacing. He doesn't offer the versatility, obviously, on the other end of the floor that Harkless does. But also, and I know we keep bringing this up, even though I keep saying it's nothing to worry about, but with this shooting slump that Shamet appears to be in, having somebody who's still, like, somewhat reliably, I mean, it hasn't been as lights out as we've seen before.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's somewhat reliably able to draw attention from the defense and knock down the open shots.
Yeah, kind of like that settling presence, I guess.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see that too. And you mentioned JaMychal's defense. I mean, if they line up their starting five of Wright, Luka, I'm assuming Justin Jackson, and then Kristaps, and then Kleber, that's JaMychal on Kristaps.
Yeah.
That's a really tough matchup for JaMychal. And I mean, I have to assume that Kristaps is going to play because number one in minutes per game in the preseason for the Mavs, Luka. Number two is Kristaps.
So with Kristaps at the four, do you think you like Mo starting better, or are you comfortable with...
If this was a regular season game, I would want Mo out there.
Okay.
But I think just for continuity, because this will be the second time that Kawhi's, we're assuming, going to start.
Yeah.
I would like JaMychal out there based on what you said of I just see him playing more when Paul George is out.
For right? sure. Yeah.
And I just think Kristaps would cook him. No disrespect to JaMychal, but Kristaps looks pretty damn good right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm really excited to see some Bev on Luka.
All right.
That's going to be a good time.
That is.
I'm obviously giving the edge to Bev. Luka did kind of kill us last year when they came into Staples Center. We did win, mostly because I think Garrett Temple came in and fouled him so many times that he just didn't really know what to do about it. But I'm really excited for Bev on Luka. I'm also really excited to see... We're going to talk about him in the second segment. I guess I can kind of spoil it now, but how Zubats deals with possibly going... I mean, he's for sure going to go against Maxi Kleber.
Yeah.
He might get matched up on Kristaps at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he might see some Boban minutes because Boban's getting 11 and a half minutes a game for this Mavs team in the preseason.
So in your opinion, do you think the front court is sort of the matchups to watch in this?
I don't know. Because we talked about how this team is like individually. It's like, wow, this looks really good, but they're still kind of figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
I still think it's the backcourt. I still think it's Luka and Wright. Because Wright looks good.
Yeah, DeLon Wright is a solid player.
And then that Brunson.
Oh, yeah, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson's been getting a lot of love from Mavs fans. But, I mean, I have to go with the backcourt just because Luka's there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that frontcourt, if they're clicking. I mean, their whole offense depends on Luka and Kristaps.
Yeah.
And so what I think Doc is going to do, which we saw a bunch last year, is stop those two, let Maxi Kleber... let Justin Jackson try and beat us. Because aside from our one and two, which in this game, in terms of scoring, let's call it Lou and Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're going to start together, but that's kind of who our primary scorers are probably going to be. I'm fine if they try and key in on our two guys. Because we got a bunch of other guys who can do their thing. The Mavs don't really.
See, I mean, I think that's interesting. I guess my thing is, who guards Kawhi?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you try to put Luka on him? Kristaps?
No, man. I think Kawhi abuses Luka.
I think so, Luka too. He's really big.
But I also think Pat Bev abuses Luka because Pat Bev is a vet.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Pat Bev is a vet. Like, he's one of those vets who's like, I know, I have tricks that you have not seen, young one.
That's fair. He does have a lot. He does have size, though, on Patrick Beverley, which I would give them the advantage to. I think the hardest matchup, or the one that I'm like the least looking forward to seeing, is the greatest Curry of all time, Seth Curry. hounding Lou defensively.
Dude, Seth is a pretty good defender. If you haven't listened to this pod before, we love Seth Curry.
Big fans.
Big fans of Seth. That's going to be interesting. I just saw a tweet, sorry, from Brad Townsend, who says Courtney Lee also is probably going to be in the starting lineup for the Mavs.
Nice. Courtney Lee had, a pretty solid game. 6 points.
He's only playing 13 minutes a game. Yeah. But sorry, back to your point. Seth on Lou is going to be interesting. Lou's going to be a little bit bothered. I have no reason to believe he's not going to get his buckets, especially if Trez is destroying their second unit. But I think individually he might get kind of frustrated.
Yeah, is there anybody else you could see from a depth perspective really giving that second unit a lot of trouble? Because I think in terms of this, I think in terms of the starting five, without a fully healthy lineup, I would maybe give Dallas a slight advantage in terms of talent, but I would say like just because
second unit, sorry. Yeah.
Well, no, I was talking the top unit. Like just in terms of like...
Damn, I don't know.
Just because, like, I don't know that Kawhi equalizes both guys. You know what I mean?
I think he does. That's just me.
But I think in terms of, like, two-way playing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's...
As a whole.
Yeah, as a whole. I mean, like, it's... To me, the Clippers are very much the sum of its part is greater than the parts or whatever the phrase is. So I would still give it an advantage. But on that second unit, I see the talent disparity for the Clippers being a lot higher. Like, the Clippers have a lot...
Better players. Justin Jackson, maybe. You know, he's getting 20 minutes a game, shooting 63% from the field and 40% from three on four attempts.
He was solid on the Kings.
Luke is also shooting 41% on 7 threes a game. I don't think he shoots that on Thursday. So the day that these people are listening to this.
Yeah.
What do you think could go wrong?
Well, I mean, we kind of let off with it, and it is going to lead into our next segment, but I think this is going to be another kind of test of, you know, where Zoo is at as a rim protector, how he's able to deal with some more talented bigs if he gets, you know, if they're going to try to get Kristaps switched on him.
Of course.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that's going to work.
Because against the Nuggets, I mean, Plumlee kind of did his thing against them on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Oh, another person I'm worried about, J.J. Barea. He murdered us last year, I believe at least once, and so I don't know what to expect from him.
Yeah, he can torture us sometimes.
But no, I think the Zubats thing, yeah, that's... I don't think that... Obviously, I don't think the Mavs have as good of a front court as the Nuggets did.
Yeah.
So I want to see Zoo put in some work on the defensive end specifically.
Absolutely. Is there anybody that you think will give Trez trouble?
No. I hate to be so blunt about it, but I'm like, no, man. If Lou and him are out there, and if we see some Sham in the second unit too, like, if they maybe move Sham down to the second unit, it's going to be a bloodbath.
For sure.
Which I'm very excited for.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Should we get into this player preview next?
Yeah, I mean, we've teased off with it.
Oh, who do you think? What's the score? We got some score predictions?
Nah, man, I don't know. The Mavericks held OKC to 70 last game.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was.
And I also don't know how to predict preseason games that well. There's just... I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think we're going to... I mean, strategy-wise, I just think we're going to try and shut down Kristaps and Luka. Let the other guys try and do their thing. And then it's going to be cool to really see Kawhi pick between... Is he going to be the scorer or the distributor?
Yeah. I mean, I would guess the Mavs are putting up in the neighborhood of 110, unless we really put the clamps on defensively.
Oh, and just to make that one guy mad, I think Jerome might have a pretty good game.
Yes.
Oh, man. Coming up after this, we're going to be previewing Ivica Zubac's season. Welcome to the Ivica Zubac's player preview. Want to give a quick shout out to Manscaped.
Hey,
it's Manscaped. They're number one in men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code locked on at manscaped.com. All right. So this is kind of a divisive player preview, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking about Ivica, whose preseason numbers are 9-6-1 on 73.7% shooting, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface this now. I might seem a little negative in this segment, but I absolutely love where his field goal percentage is at.
Uh-huh.
He's playing 15 minutes a game with a net rating of minus 10.8. Which, it's preseason, so I'm not going to read too much into that plus minus.
It's preseason, and yeah, we've had a couple of games where we've kind of got blown out, so.
What do we want to see from him against the Mavs that's going to make you confident about his upcoming season? Because I have said that I think he can be a double-double guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to see him on the other end step it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the rim protection and being able to... I mean, I don't expect him to, you know, be able to guard every position. I don't expect him to be able to, like, guard hyper-athletic fours 100% of the time. But what I do hope is that he can position himself and call for help soon enough from teammates that they can sort of mitigate some of those effects.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because, like, let's just be honest. You know, I think that Zoo is a pretty solid prototypical center. Yeah. I think that the league has moved in a direction where sometimes these guys who need to stretch outside more of that role can become increasingly exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that he falls into that latter category, but I don't think it's to a point that it's like so egregious that he's unworkable.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a bunch of times and I'll continue to say it. To me, he has the talent of a starting level five. And what exactly that means, you know, there's 30 of them. He's, you know, I would say that he qualifies as one of them and not just because he's starting. Like, I do think that that's the skill set that he has.
For sure. And he doesn't have to do, you know, last year we kind of, I don't want to say relied on him because he never, like, in terms of offense was like, oh, we really need a big game from Zoo tonight.
Yeah.
Particularly. But the pressure's kind of off of him this year.
For sure.
A little bit more so. He's got some more continuity. I just want to see him be better than Maxi Kleber. That's honestly kind of the test for me in the game against the Mavs is like, if he outperforms Maxi Kleber, I'm psyched.
Do you think that it's interesting? I just want to pedal back for 1 second to what you said about he maybe has less to prove this year. I actually think the opposite.
Damn. All right. I can see the argument.
I think that with this roster and like the noted defenders already on the team, I do think that we could see teams try to game plan a little bit more around.
Oh, I think he is, if you're game planning against this team and you're looking for a point to attack,
that's a point of entry.
Yeah, I'm not sure if your choices are, let's just say the starting lineup is Patrick Beverley, Mo Harkless, Kawhi and Paul George and Zoo. Who are you going to, it's obvious who you're going to try and work it through.
Yeah.
And even if you put Shaman in there instead of Mo or Jamal, it's still just an obvious thing, especially if you have an athletic center, is you're just trying to game plan, you're trying to get Zoo out on the perimeter and stuff like that.
Trying to pull him out as far from the basket as you can.
His numbers last year, it was 9, 7.7, and 1.5 in 20 minutes per game on 53% shooting and a net rating of 1.8. So obviously that shooting is going to go up. If he's under, I mean, I want to see him in that Trez range.
65,
something like that, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. He seems to be, the touches there this preseason, which I love.
Oh, yeah. He's been, and he's finished some harder looks, I would say, as well.
Absolutely. He's made some big, I don't want to say jumps, but he's just made those tweaks to his game where he looks completely comfortable in his body. He's coming in healthy. It's just that, even in that game against Melbourne, which... they're a very well-drilled team. They had some crazy motion offense. He looked a little lost sometimes on defense.
Yeah, I feel like he shored that up a little bit as the game went on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I do but like agreed. The game plan didn't change.
But agreed. In the opening frames of the game, it was definitely it definitely looked like he was not able to execute on the defensive plan.
What can you see him putting up numbers wise this year? Because we've talked about it a little bit, but now that we kind of have some more litmus tests.
Yeah, for sure. So we've talked about this a little bit, and I mean, I agree. I think that Zoo can be a double double guy. I think that this,
and I'm thinking like low double doubles, kind of.
Oh yeah, I mean, I still think that like this year, you know, what I would love to see from Zoo, like what I think pushes this team over the edge, is if we could get. I mean, and this is my dream scenario, so like, don't expect this, but let's say we can expect from Zoo a consistent 12, 10, and 4.
Four?
Yeah.
I don't know about the four.
I mean, I'm saying this is a dream scenario.
I think 12, 10, the assist numbers, I'm like, whatever, if he's around 2, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel maybe this is a dumb statement, but I'm not that worried about his assists.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I could, like, I want to see 12 and 9.5, 12 and 10 or something like that. Like maybe flirting with a double-double.
Yeah, I think, 12 and 9, 12 and 10, somewhere around there.
And I want that net rating. I want that net rating to be at least plus 5.
I don't know. Plus 5 is a lot.
But if you're playing with Kawhi and Paul George and
yeah, that's true.
Stuff like that.
And he's going to be putting on, he's going to be putting in big minutes too with both of those guys.
With those guys, for sure. So I don't think it's crazy to think he could have a plus 5. Emily, it was plus 2 last year almost.
What do you think? Obviously, we've talked on here a bunch of times. Doc has talked a bunch of times about how much he values the prospect idea of Zoo's passing. What do you think that assist number could realistically get to?
3.
Okay. Yeah. There's not like a crazy disparity between the two of us.
4 for some reason though.
Four is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, know I did this on yesterday's podcast where I was like 6 to 10, but not more than 7. But yeah, 3. I'm like, that seems great. I just don't want the ball in his hands that much. That's, in terms of play development. Like
that's fair.
There's times where if he had the ball in his hands, it was like, okay, I hope this goes well if he's not close to the rim or something like that.
Yeah.
Because if the offense gets in that frenetic, like, what are we all trying to do? Let's all try and do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
He tends to, like, you know, the spacing gets all weird. So on cuts where Zoo has the ball and then has to make a read or something like that, he doesn't, you know, he can't make that pass. And that's because of everyone else, too, kind of being frenetic. But it's just not a good recipe when he is holding the ball for so long.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess, like, just with even more than seeing those assist numbers go up, I'd like to see him have the ball for, you know, like less than 5 seconds. Like
definitely. That's a great hot potato, basically.
Yeah. If he's grabbing a board or whatever and he's not immediately able to give the put back, I want to see him dish it out. Like,
yeah.
So that, you know, I mean, hopefully that would boost his assist numbers anyways, just with the shooting on the team. But yeah, that's, just I think just more just as a through line for what I'd like to see from this season is just like decisiveness and like
which we've
clarity
seen in the preseason,
on the court,
which
yes,
has been great. Like
for sure.
I think it was like the first dunk he threw down in the preseason, and it was against Houston when we just got destroyed.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, okay, yeah. Zoo went straight up and he knew exactly what he wanted to do with the ball and he completed the play, which is huge. It's just, it feels like a year where he could make a step. I don't know about a jump, maybe a hop or something like that. If he just shores up his defense a little bit, he's going to be perfectly acceptable to net positive center, which
Agreed.
Is all we need.
Agreed. So
we don't need to ask him to be anything crazy. He doesn't have to be, you know, the best prototypical center, even in, I mean, the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, just not a net negative. And defensively, offensively, we need him to be a little better than that. But defensively, just not a net negative.
And I don't think that he will be a net negative. I think that it's going to come together for him this year. And I don't know that he'll have a breakout season in the way that Trez had a breakout season last year. I just don't know that there's really room for him to make that kind of a jump.
Yeah, unless we only play Zoo against mismatched centers, which would be funny to watch.
yeah. But you know, I think that his numbers we should see a slight improvement really in ideally all categories. But most, like, where he has the most room for growth for me is probably as a passer. And then I hope, like, I hope with the increased finishing, we do see that points per game increased.
And boards. Sometimes he doesn't get active early on the boards, which I want to see. There was a couple times, I think it was against the Nuggets, where he had like 3 boards going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was like, we got to get the start a little earlier.
He definitely struggled, but that is a hard front court to play. So
he's a giant dude. Does that wrap it up for this player preview?
I think that's all we got.
Let us know what you think about Zubats. I know there's one person who I think has at least 2 Zubat-specific burner accounts on Twitter. Shout out to that dude.
Send us all the smoke.
Yeah, let us know what you think about Zubat's upcoming season. Coming up after this, we got some shavings. All right, so welcome to shavings.
I'm opening up the door.
So we got a smattering of stuff. Should we start with the fun stuff or the thing that was kind of pissing me off today?
Let's start with that.
Okay. There was, and I don't use this word lightly.
Okay.
There was a smattering.
You don't use the word smattering lately?
No, it's a very serious thing. There's a smattering of this take that has wormed its way into people's brains.
Right, hit me with it.
That we are definitely trading Luer Trez at the deadline.
I don't see it.
I don't see it. But aside from not seeing it, I'm fine with even putting, like, whatever. If you don't see it, that's fine. If you do see it, cool. We don't even have Paul George back.
Yeah.
We don't have a full squad until at least the 11th game of this season. I don't see how you can project not only the first 10 games without Paul George and then transition
the next
that
40
the
plus.
Next 40 or whatever. And like, I understand, yes, Lou is not a good defender. Everyone knows that. He will get hunted out in the wrong situation. But that's also assuming that Doc is going to be like, man, they have all their best scorers out there. Let's keep Lou in at the two. Like, I don't think Doc is going to do that. I think it's kind of a discredit to Doc's coaching, too.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. Lou is not a different player than he was last year.
No. It's the same. And he might have a little better defense. The preseason, weirdly,
he's looked good.
I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, no disrespect, an above average defender. But he might be closer to a kind of defender, like an onomatopoeia level of defender. You know what I mean?
I hope that he can get to
Yeah.
last year, okay, identify to me all the games that Lou Will lost for us because of... yes, he does get scored on, but that's... You know, that's why he's so potent on the other end. That's why he's on the team.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you have, and it's also kind of a discredit to how good everyone around him is at defense.
Yeah.
We have a defensive powerhouse on paper as of right now.
I also, and I mean, I could be out of line here, but I think it would be a waste of a trade to trade either one of Lou or Trez as a solo piece.
We also already paid Lou.
Yeah.
For like, we gave him money.
I don't want to see either one of them go anywhere. I
don't know what we get for Trez.
I don't either.
I love Trez. I want him to be a Clipper forever.
Yeah, but I don't know what the market is really like out there for that.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, there's so much basketball to be played between now and then with us not even having our full strength.
Yeah.
And it would force, I think, a pretty extreme philosophical change for the bench unit.
Yeah.
And maybe the starting unit, because Doc has said we might see some Lou and Trez starting minutes out there with the pick'em lineup, as we've kind of decided to call it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I will say, Paul Heedley had a great piece about it. He argued his point well. You should check out his blog. But his was a well-thought-out piece. But there were some other takes where I was just like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Like, why would we give up? I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Let's let the guys play.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this. I feel like we've talked about this weeks ago now. We're like, I'm done entertaining trade ideas. Like, I'm done. I'm done entertaining.
I'm done, dude.
Like, hypotheticals. I just want to watch the basketball for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
and then we can reopen the floodgates.
Yeah, like if shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah,
and it's just like somehow like the house is burning down
and we may hit a slow start.
Of course, like if the house is burning down and we're trying to use, you know, a Dixie cup to put it out. Sure, let's sling everybody.
Did you just come up with that?
I just came
That's
up with
great.
That.
That's great.
I'm pretty psyched on that. Then I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing, whatever. But if we're like, I don't know, a top four seed or something, I also don't see us doing Lou like that.
I don't either.
I don't see it happen.
I mean, do not either.
I know we all thought that Shea was going to be a cornerstone, which I do have to think about every time I say a statement like this. But Lou, I mean...
My thing is
that would kill me.
My thing is with all of these ones that people like point to our organization as being maybe a little shrewd.
Oh, we are very shrewd.
Like,
for as family friendly as they want this team to be, our front office is sharks in
like,
a good way.
I mean, with the Blake Griffin thing, that had to happen. I don't think there's an organization in the Clippers spot where they were that gets offered a deal like that and turns it down.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Shea. I mean, if you have a chance to get two, I mean, let's just call them MVPs.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I think you do it. And as much as I love Lou, and I think that he's an awesome piece on this team, it's hard for me to assess what you could realistically get back in a trade.
And you're also, I feel like you're trading him to maybe another contender.
Right? Like, I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah. You know, that's another great argument. It's like, you have to trade him to someone in the East.
Yeah, you're trading him to someone who needs a bunch of scoring. And you're like, yeah, no sweat, dude. We got that. All right, let's talk about some fun stuff.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Ty Dolla $ign is going to be performing opening night.
I'm excited.
There's also some merch. Yes. That's Ty Dolla $ign and the Clippers. There's a hoodie. It's all black. It's got the Clippers logo and then it says Dolla $ign underneath it. I am ecstatic.
Yeah, we're both pretty big Ty Dolla $ign fans.
I thought I was excited when I saw that Soulja Boy was performing for the team, which I very much was. This is going to be awesome. I'm absolutely going to be on the floor again.
My only qualm is that he's not playing old stuff.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Ty Dolla $ign, or if you've only heard his newer stuff, which if you have, you might not be the biggest fan. That's understandable. You need to check out his first album. He's got a song called When I See You featuring Fetty Wap that is great.
Yeah, Free TC is, his masterpiece.
Free TC is a great album. Most of the budget to that album went on the strings, which if you listen to, you can very much tell he cares about that. Also, the version of Paranoid featuring Joe Moses specifically
is far superior to the radio version that gets played in most places that are not LA.
Get the Flat Earth B.O.B. version out of here. How are you psyched on the clothes? I think that's kind of funny. They haven't done that before. There's never been like
I'm gonna buy one.
A performer and Clippers like
I'm gonna buy one.
Do you think we'll see more of that this year with the DTLAC Knights?
I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to think of somebody else. I mean, like YG or somebody is like the only other person that kind of immediately ties my head, because
it's got to be an LA guy.
It has to be an LA artist.
I heard someone say that they weren't very psyched because Ty Dolla $ign's not a Clippers fan. But I was in my head, I'm like, yeah, neither is Red Panda. Neither is the dog with who's the dog and the dude who does all the crazy acrobatics.
Dog Man?
Nah, you know who I'm talking about, but like, I don't care if the musician isn't a fan of the team.
I don't think that he's not a fan.
It's a night for LA is the other thing. Like, if you read the presser, it's like, it's an LA night, which does kind of suck because it's our home opener.
Yeah.
But he's going to be wearing Clipper stuff. I'm going to be wearing a Ty Dolla $ign hoodie in the presser like an idiot, probably. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be great.
Oh, we have to give a shout out to the Todd on iTunes, which I don't know how you got that username. Big Scrubs fan or something like that. But way to go.
It's great.
Gave us a 5-star review. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
You got anything else in that shavings drawer?
I don't. We are fresh out of time.
We're fresh out of time. We're going to have a recap on Friday for the game against the Mavs.
Yep.
We're going to have some Pac-Div stuff, player preview, some Love, Mary, Kill. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on iTunes. Be like the Todd. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.